The Quintessential Podcast is proud to announce that we have a new presenting sponsor, Axia Time. Axia Time is a really cool watch company focused on ultra-custom watches to commemorate life's greatest accomplishments. Watches whose styling and quality match the significance of the accomplishments they represent. Axia Time is also partnered with all the leading lacrosse organizations to create All-American timepieces for high school boys and girls and college men and women. Axia Time even creates timepieces for elite awards like the Tourton and Naismith. If you're interested in a high-quality, Swiss-made timepiece to commemorate a great accomplishment, you need to check out their designs at axiatime.com. That's axiatime.com. If you're celebrating a team achievement, like a state championship, national championship, or even world championship, you have to check out the timepieces they created for teams like Jesuit Dallas, the University of Maryland, and even the USA U21 World Champions. Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Quintessential Podcast, first edition of 2024. Happy New Year to all our listeners. And I want to encourage you to send me an email, quint.kesnick@espn.com, for any suggestions or discussion topics that you would like to hear on this podcast going forward in the new year. The last 2 weeks have been really, really incredibly fun, rewarding, and exciting for me. And I'm going to spend some time talking about that before we turn the page and look ahead to the month of January. Years ago, back in 2011, I had the opportunity to cover Anthony Robles, a wrestler out of Arizona and Arizona State, and his pilgrimage to a national championship at 125 pounds. Anthony was born with one leg. He was an incredible story at the time. Eventually, he wrote a book called Unstoppable, and now that book is being turned into a movie out in L.A. with the group that produced Air, the Michael Jordan and Nike film, are behind this, and it's got some star power. For 10 years, Anthony and I would talk about, hey, you know, if my story is ever made into a movie, I'd like you to play yourself. Well, eventually I got a call. We were supposed to shoot last summer in Los Angeles. The writer's strike shut the production down then, and things resumed recently. And luckily for me, the scheduling fit with my college football schedule. And so I flew out to L.A. on December 22nd, a Friday, and did a day of shooting on Saturday, December 23rd. Where I put down five scenes, potentially three, probably make the movie, maybe a little more, we'll see. But it was an incredible, incredible experience. They treated me absolutely amazing, picked me up in my house in a sedan, flew me out to LA, hotel, showed up on set, went through my clothing options. Next day I had my own trailer, makeup, hair, took 10 years off my life. And then to be on set, they had 170 people working on the set that day for these scenes where they really recreated the NCAA tournament experience from the mats to the refs to the extras, wrestlers and coaches behind the scenes and the fans. So it was an incredible experience. A little, you know, I felt nervous and pressure initially on set where everyone on the set is hovering. Action, you know, quiet action. And it's you, you're performing. It reminded me of being in the goal, quite honestly, and being responsible for the success or failure of your team, of your organization, of your fans, of your family. And somehow to find peace in that moment, to remain relaxed and just to be yourself. So it took me a little bit of time on set, and I finally kind of clicked into just performance and just forgetting about all the people who were holding their breath as you do your part, so to speak, and how the crossover for being an athlete, whether it was a young high school wrestler, when you shake hands, you know, taking that incredible tension, the nerves and the stress, and moving beyond that into being able to perform. So that was an incredible experience. I don't know when the movie's coming out. It's got some big names behind it. Just a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. My daughter basically forced me to do it. She said, Daddy, you got to take this opportunity. I was a little on the fence. You know, I've been traveling the country, covering college football for the last 15 weeks, little worn out that way, but it fit my schedule, so I did it, and it went really, really smoothly and was a lifetime experience that I'll never forget. Football-wise, I covered two bowl games recently, the Peach Bowl in Atlanta. That was Ole Miss defeating Penn State, and you know, I got to see Adam Fullerton, former Army goalie, former MLL goalie. He's in charge of operations at the Mercedes-Benz Center in Atlanta. He pointed out that Army's coming down to Atlanta this spring to play a game. It's an area of the country that I think is booming lacrosse-wise. And the game, it was really cool. You know, Ole Miss is a team that's going to be in the top 10 preseason 2024, probably somewhere in the 6th or 7th range. Lane Kiffin brings back Jackson Dart and that entire offense. They've got 9 players they picked up via the portal on defense. So Ole Miss is going to be a national power next year. Penn State, they finished with 10 wins and 3 losses. They lost the games that matter, though. It's interesting. You know, they lost to Ohio State, they lost to Michigan, and then they lost their bowl game. Great defense. Got some issues at the quarterback and wide receiver position. The Penn State people are always first class to deal with. In any game I've covered, whether it be lacrosse, wrestling, or college football, even in basketball back in the day when I got some basketball assignments, people at Penn State are always wonderful to work with. So I've got nothing but good things to say about James Franklin and his leadership staff. Interesting enough, his general manager, the guy who's in charge of player personnel, was a former student at McDonough, wrestler at McDonough, and lacrosse goalie who actually came to my goalie camps and worked for the Ravens for a bit, and that's how he got his spot at Penn State. So it was nice to see some people with common backgrounds. From there, that game was on Saturday at noon. I traveled Saturday night, took a late flight to Los Angeles, landed, I don't know, a little before midnight, and then drove to our hotel in Glendale, which is north, to work the Rose Bowl radio. I got the assignment with Joe Tessitore and Dusty Dvoracek. Just an incredible experience. The game was riveting if you saw it on TV, but just the setting, I can't tell you, it's my first Rose Bowl as a broadcaster, but the sun setting, the colors, the lighting, the natural grass field, the pageantry of both fan bases, the incredible history between Michigan and Alabama in terms of the two most winning programs, and a game that went down to extra time, overtime. I had an amazing seat. You know, at times I'm right behind Coach Harbaugh, Coach Saban. I'm in the end zone. Some other times it was a cast of thousands there. But it was a day that I will never forget. I thought we had a particularly strong radio show, and I took a red eye back to Baltimore after the game and really got no sleep. I watched The Hangover on the flight, and I get home and I get criticized. They're like, oh, what movie did you watch? I said, The Hangover. And they're like, really? But I was so brain dead. So forgive me for watching The Hangover. And now we turn the page. You know, practices will be starting this week, January 3rd, some teams report. Most teams will start practice January 8, 9, or 10. The month of January will be pretty intense for folks. If you have an indoor facility, congratulations. You catch a break, but a lot of teams will be outside playing in sub-freezing, freezing, windy, dark conditions. This is a testing month for the lacrosse athlete. Scrimmages should start middle to late of the month. Always good to get out there against players in a different jerseys and to mix up the monotony of preseason camp, which can be pretty brutal, combined with the new academic responsibilities of the second term. So January practices and scrimmages. We got some games in February as early as, I believe, Friday, February 2nd, or the 3rd and the 4th is really opening weekend for a bunch of the Southern teams. I think Mercer is on tap as our opener. And then we'll get things going later in the month of February on Saturdays. I'm not sure what our TV schedule looks like yet. There has been nothing sent, but I'm anticipating that there will be some games in the month of February on the ACC Network and ESPNU for our fans to enjoy. The other thing that came out this month, aside from the news of Dave Cottle taking a coordinator position at the Naval Academy for Joe Amplo, I think the major news of the last few weeks has been the release of the PLL summer schedule 2024. You know, a couple things stand out to me. You forget that last summer we had the World Championships, which really extended the summer. So this is a more condensed It feels like it should. With the season starting on that weekend in Albany, May 31 and June through June 2nd, at Casey Stadium, where the support has been outstanding and where the players and teams can go up and train that week and live out of the dorms. So it's a great situation. It's a weekend that I will ask for if I'm involved with the PLL this summer. It's a weekend that because my mom lives up in Woodstock, New York, it's just ideal for me to go up there to spend a couple days with her and then to go up to Albany, which is about an hour drive north up the thruway, and do that event and then come back down and spend a couple more days with my mom. It's a nice time of year up there in June, early in the summer. Weekend two is Charlotte. We see a bunch of the mainstays with Philadelphia, Minneapolis, Boston, Louisville, Fairfield, San Diego, Baltimore, Denver, and Salt Lake. Okay, what stands out? You got three neutral venues. This year they're going with, obviously, with home teams. But the three neutral venues are Minneapolis, Fairfield, and what's the other neutral venue? There's one other neutral venue, folks. I'm not sure what the other one is. I wrote down three, and I only just gave you two. Oh, the All-Star Game. That's what it is. It's Louisville. Louisville, Fairfield, and Minneapolis. You know, I did the game last year in Minneapolis and felt that it was a terrific weekend. First of all, downtown Minneapolis during the summer is really cool. Good food, nice people. Got to see a Twins against the Orioles game the night before our action at TCO Stadium, which is the Minnesota Vikings training facility, and there's a hotel right next door, so it's really convenient. I thought the fan support up in Minneapolis was off the charts. Really young crowd of young players, so it was a real positive experience. All-Star Game in Louisville. I haven't been to that city in more than a decade. Used to go there quite a bit covering college football back in the Big East days, and of course covered early 2000s, middle 2000s, covered a handful of Kentucky derbies. And then Fairfield being a neutral, they've gotten such great fan support at Rafferty Stadium. Who can blame the league for going back there? The things that stand out to me, you know, you have an 8-team league, 4 games per weekend. The home team's going to play twice, so somebody gets a bye. Kind of like that. There's also a bye weekend, June 21st. Looks like a bye weekend for the entire league. Playoffs have not been announced yet. And I think that's notable in that Long Island is not on a venue of choice right now. The Bay Area, Dallas, Philadelphia, Washington D.C., New England, Patriot Place, maybe even Columbus, Ohio. Those could be some sites. I'd be interested to see what the fans would most be excited about in terms of a quarterfinal, semifinal, and final venues. And the calendar also will be a little interesting because this schedule ends on August 18th. Okay, that leaves the 24th and 31st in August, 2 weekends. The 31st, it's an early Labor Day this year. Labor Day falls on September 2nd. So that's when college football is going to start. The NFL would then typically start the following week. It may behoove the league to not give a bye week at the end of the regular season and try to get things done prior to the NFL. We'll see. You know, the other thing is if you do cross in September with the NFL, I would vote for, you know, could you get your final to be played on a Monday night, a Thursday night, a Tuesday night to avoid the head-to-head with the NFL? We'll see. Schedule, though, being released, it's PLL.com. Opens up Albany, June 2nd. Season ends in Salt Lake City on August 18th. My coverage for the next month will be mainly about these preseason camps. I got a little bit of off time here in terms of my ESPN work. I've got the Senior Bowl at the end of the month in Mobile, Alabama. It's a project that I love to get down there, to get on the field during practice with NFL GMs, NFL coaches, NFL scouts, to interact with the elite college football players and to learn a lot. I learn tons each year from our evaluators and just talking to people about that evaluation process that I find actually has more crossover into lacrosse and covering athletics than I would ever guess. So between now and then, my main goals in the month of January, I will go back and now start watching the 2023 NCAA lacrosse tournament. Every year I go back, I start with the finals, and I'll watch the final, and then I'll go back a day later and watch a semifinal game, and then I'll go watch the other semifinal game, and I'll work my way all the way back through the tournament usually one game a day in that range. Some days it'll be more, some days it'll be less. But by the end of the month, I have watched the entire NCAA tournament, which is good for a lot of reasons. Number one, it refreshes me with the personnel and the storylines of last season. Number two, I get to see our premier games from a broadcast standpoint, and I can do some self-evaluation, some team evaluation, listen to some other announcers, some of the best in the game, and what can I take from their work, and how can I improve. The other thing I want to do during the month of January is get out to as many practices as I can when the weather is nice. I'm not going to go out there and sit in 20-degree temperatures and watch a practice. I'm sorry. I'm just too old for that. But I do love going out when the temperature's in the 40s and sunny and watching the Division 1, 2, and 3 teams in my area that I can get to within 15 minutes. And you think about where I live, I can get to UMBC, Loyola, Towson, Hopkins, Stevenson, super quick. And so I can go watch a practice. And what I want to do at these practices is just watch and listen. Terminology being used, coaching methods being used, points of emphasis in terms of strategy. And that's a way that I can get better as a broadcaster. Because the older I get and the further I get from that locker room, from the field, from getting hit in the thigh with a shot, the harder I have to work to stay in touch. And that's the reality of broadcasters. And I think you lose your edge. So if I can put the month of January to work to get out there, to be at practice, what drills are they doing? What's their terminology for a backside slide? What are the options of the ex-attackman on this extra man play? And really put myself in tune with the way the game is being coached and played during January practices. It really sets up what I hope to be an incredible spring season. So that's where I'm at. I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Quintessential Podcast. I want to thank Dr. Nick Z, who is our technical expert. His work in Michigan has been really critical for this podcast to exist over the course of the year. Again, send me an email, quint.kesnick@espn.com. What'd you like about the podcast last year? What direction do you think we should head in? What type of guests are you interested in? Do we want to hear from more players? Do we prefer coaches? Do we want to go old school? Do we want to shift our coverage to mainly D1 college men's? Do we love the women's game and want to hear more about the women's game? Is there a void there that we need to step up and take? How much pro content do you want to hear? These are all questions that I have. I've looked at the analytics. I kind of know what the results say, but obviously when there's a market availability, there's not many lacrosse podcasts out there. I'm really interested in increasing our numbers. We've done super well in the last 2 years for Lax All-Stars, and I want to keep that trend going. So again, thank you for listening. Your opinion matters. Please send me any feedback that you have. With that, we're going to end this podcast. Again, January means the first day of practice. And my advice to those participating in the first day of practice would be, number one, check your equipment. Make sure your stick's in good shape. Make sure your cleats are good, your sneakers. Make sure you've got the right outer wear. You cannot perform well at a frozen practice if your arms, your hands, and your feet lock up on you. So staying warm is essential. Again, at the beginning of practice at 3:30 in the afternoon, it may be nice. It may be 40 degrees and sunny and no wind, but things can change quickly. When that sun goes down, keep this in mind. Dress for 5 o'clock. Okay, by the end of practice, you want to have a layer that you can turn to put on. The other thing is early in practice, you might not wear as much sweats because you're going to be sweating, you're going to be vigorous, because that sweat can then turn to ice on you. So you've got to start maybe dressed a little lighter, and then as practice goes and maybe there's a little standing around in the second half of practice, that's when you want to add that sweatshirt or those sweatpants. And so learning to fight your way through the tough January and February practices, it's part of the experience. So I don't envy it, quite honestly. It's one thing I do not miss about retirement from being between the pipes. But again, thank you for listening. Excited for the upcoming year and excited for the upcoming season. That's it for this week's episode of the Quintessential Podcast. Thank you to our guests. Thanks to our technical director, Dr. Nick Z. I want to thank you for listening. And of course, thanks to our sponsor, Axia Time. A watch, what a better gift than a ring. I've got a championship ring. It's collecting dust in a box. I wear watches all the time. Thank you, Axia Time. It's axiatime.com, and we'll see you next week.